Item 90, Venture Portland Annual Report to Council.
Commissioner Fish.
Colleagues.
For the record, I'd like to vote yes on the consent agenda.
Okay. And one more yes on the consent.
Mayor and colleagues, as council liaison to Venture Portland, I'm proud to welcome today Heather Hale, Executive Director of Venture Portland, Matthew Macedic, President of the Venture Portland Board and owner of Red Castle Games on Southeast Fort, Foster, Brad Faulkner, Dane Fredericks, and Calvin Huff, who are district organizers for Venture Portland. As you know, Venture Portland serves our 50 neighborhood business districts, which represent over 19,000 individual businesses and provide nearly 250,000 jobs in Portland alone. The average small business in our city employs three or fewer people. And remember, when we shop local, 70% of every dollar stays in our local economy. Venture Portland is completing the third year in a program designed to bring increased capacity and resources to business districts in North and East Portland. The so-called Catalytic Investment Initiative is exceeding our expectations. The modest investment we've made is making a huge difference in these traditionally underserved business districts, and I look forward to continuing to support this project into the future. With that, I'll turn it over to Heather Hale. Heather, welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for making time for us today.
Hopefully that's coming through. Okay, there we go. All right. As Commissioner Fish, thank you for introducing me. I'm Matthew Macedic. I'm the president of Venture Portland, as well as the owner of Red Castle Games on Southeast Foster. Last year was a tremendous success for my business. We had record-setting holiday sales, and year-over-year sales growth was 18% over 2016. So business is strong in Foster. We also had a tremendous achievement, and we purchased a commercial building on the Foster corridor because, much like people in housing, there's a lot of displacement in businesses as well, and this will ensure our future and my 10 employees' future on Foster forever now. So it's really exciting that we can put our roots even deeper into the neighborhood. Finally, I'm also president of the Foster Area Business Association, one of Portland's 50 neighborhood business districts. As you may have heard, our business district is getting a new shelter this year. While siting a shelter is never an easy task, Mayor Wheeler, I've been impressed by the responsiveness of your team to the questions raised by Foster businesses, and particularly the hard work of your policy advisor, Seraphie Allen.
Thank you, and I'll pass that on to her. She's
Thank
probably
you.
Hearing it. Oh, she's here. Very good. Thank you.
I look forward to working with you and your staff, the Joint Office on Homeless Services, to implement the innovative Foster Area Shelter Steering Committee. I think this will be a great new resource to help bring the neighborhood and the shelter provider, as well as other interested parties, together and make this as successful as possible in our district. But we're here to talk about Venture Portland today. 2017 was a big year for Venture Portland. We launched new programs, expanded the Catalytic Investment Initiative into North Portland, and continued our partnership with you, City Council. As you know, Venture Portland is the support system for Portland's neighborhood business districts, which contain 19,200 individual neighborhood businesses and provide employment for 267,000 Portlanders. We are the only entity in Portland that works exclusively at the business district level, making us the support system for all of the city's neighborhood business districts. In Portland, small really is big. Venture Portland promotes these critical commercial corridors and supports the dedicated volunteers that manage them with training, technical assistance, and grants. In fact, over the last 21 years in partnership with the city, Venture Portland has invested more than $1.5 million into business district growth, leveraging an additional $4.9 million in private business district investment. This is a more than 3-to-1 match. As president, I know that the strength of this organization has always come from our collective efforts, the beliefs that the business of Portland is about more than just business. It's about the people, the neighborhoods, and the culture we have. It's about passion and dedication and starting something because you believe you have a great idea to make your part of Portland a wonderful place. It's also about the vision of our city that business owners, residents, and elected officials share. a vision that celebrates the individualism and distinct flavor that makes Portland, Portland. There's no Chicagolandia. There's only been a Portlandia. The knowledge that our diverse neighborhoods and unique views make up the very fabric that binds us and our city together is what creates this great cohesive place. Venture Portland means business, and so do all of you. So I'll turn it over to Heather to discuss the specifics of our 2017 achievements and our 2018 plans. Heather.
Thank you, Matthew. Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name's Heather Hale. I'm the executive director of Venture Portland. As Matthew said, 2017 was a big year for Venture Portland and the neighborhood business districts we supported. The following brief overview provides a snapshot of our work over the last 12 months. After 7 years of sustained double-digit growth, we once again expanded access to our capacity building services. We increased participation in our training and technical assistance program 11%, with almost 600 business district leaders attending one of 44 trainings that covered everything from the legal responsibilities of nonprofit officers to the creation of an enhanced services district to asset mapping in diverse and rapidly changing neighborhoods. And we addressed more than 600 district-specific requests from districts citywide. That's a 25% increase over the number that I reported to you last year. This in-depth, personalized support helped districts navigate major leadership transitions and effectively manage business mix, built form, and demographic changes in our rapidly growing city. Over the last year, we provided 3,294 hours of training and technical assistance to district leaders from emerging and established districts. That's a 41% increase over what I reported last year. To put this exponential growth in perspective, in just the first 6 months of this fiscal year, we've already roughly matched the entire number of training and technical assistance hours provided in FY14-15. We also significantly expanded access to our grants, awarding more than $100,000 to fund 42 projects that leveraged almost $400,000 in additional business district investment, a nearly 4-to-1 match, making these some of the most efficient dollars the city spends. In addition, 2/3 of our total grants went to underserved business districts in East and North Portland. The following are a few examples of how these catalytic funds have supported neighborhoods. After helping Beaumont, which is Northeast Fremont, launch Dash to Donuts in conjunction with Portland hosting the 2016 World Indoor Track and Field Championships, we provided grant funding to expand this unique event that partners two unlikely district businesses, Foot Traffic and Pip's Donuts, to encourage a fun run and track and field style obstacle course hosted at individual businesses. The success of this family-friendly event led the way for the district to launch a series of new events this year, including Halloween and holiday promotions, and significantly increase business engagement. After 2 years of unrelenting district construction on Williams, including 11 new high-rise buildings, which brought more than 1,000 new apartments, about 100,000 square feet of retail space, plus a bike lane that is the only one in the city on the left side of the street, Williams was concerned about losing the community's history and identity. After adopting Honoring History and Embracing Change as their manifesto, the district used Venture Portland grant funds to commission professional photographs of the district's diverse businesses, customers, and residents for use online and in published collateral, including their district map, which this year also proudly features the Black Williams Project historic markers. Finally, after receiving significant feedback from Northwest industrial businesses in the industrial sanctuary and acknowledging that there were, in fact, no residents inside the industrial sanctuary, Northwest Industrial moved to operate exclusively as a business association. In partnership with ONI and Neighbors West Northwest, Venture Portland helped these volunteers navigate this transition and provided grant funding to launch an inaugural membership campaign that has generated first-time revenue for this important, close-in industrial community. The overwhelming majority of Portland businesses are neighborhood-based, which means neighborhood businesses truly power Portland's economy. All year, but especially during the holidays, Venture Portland helped cash registers ring citywide. In addition to launching six new business district events between Halloween and New Year's, we promoted, and I attended, 50 retail events in 21 days, including Little Boxes, which incentivized 15,000 store visits on Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. And we continued to support Multnomah Village's innovative Golden Ticket program, which has generated $6 million in retail sales in just Hillsdale and Multnomah Village over the last 6 years. It is that kind of innovation that truly makes our economy hum. We also helped connect neighborhood businesses with city commissioners and bureaus. For the fourth year in a row, we worked with all permitting bureaus to ensure that 100% of street fairs were permitted. This is a yeoman's effort. These 50 events collectively attract 1 million visitors annually. So I'd like to give huge extra thanks to PBOT staff for continuing to make this process manageable and affordable for these volunteer-run associations. As I told you this fall, I'm very excited about Council's newly adopted livable streets strategy, which I expect will make 2018's season of street fairs and festivals even more successful. We continued our partnership with BES and PBOT to mitigate the impact of construction and demonstration projects on neighborhood businesses, especially during the critical holiday retail period. By coordinating construction schedules, communicating with business district leaders while planning projects, and adhering to the construction blackout between Thanksgiving and Christmas, these bureaus have made the city that works work better for business. Following Council's unanimous vote last year, business and neighborhood associations now receive the same city notifications for the first time as residential neighborhoods, correcting a systemic inequity. Speaking of notifications, while land use and zoning are frequently hot-button issues, by providing equitable information to business districts about proposed changes in their communities, you are better able to leverage Portland's creative and thoughtful business owners and give them the opportunity to work with you to find solutions to some of our biggest challenges. In particular, I want to note the examples recently set by Kenton, Lloyd, and Foster. When given the opportunity to have a meaningful discussion with city leaders about the need to provide shelter for our most vulnerable citizens, all three districts rose to the challenge and have welcomed shelters and temporary housing. After negotiating a number of sustainability improvements with our landlord, we secured our Sustainability at Work certification. We also worked with BPS and their economic planning team to design and develop an online database, which is expected to launch this spring, that will provide critical business district demographic and economic trend information to district leaders citywide. This is a very huge and exciting development. Last month, we worked with public information officers from PBOT, ONI, emergency response bureaus, and your offices to plan severe weather communications. And as a member of the Age-Friendly Portland and Multnomah County Task Force, we maintained our Age-Friendly Business certification. Finally, we were exceptionally proud to be one of the first partner organizations to sign on to Commissioner Fish's All-User Restroom Challenge and to help promote neighborhood businesses doing the right thing for their customers. Last but certainly not least, I want to recognize Venture Portland's dedicated volunteers, several of whom are with us here today. Our board, made up of one representative from each business district, contributed a whopping 1,386 volunteer hours last year. These volunteer hours, which are equal to 0.67 FTE or 27 hours a week, were in addition to each board member's work in their own business and volunteer work in their own business district. Our success would not be possible without this incredible commitment. Finally, I want to acknowledge the exceptional community spirit of Portland's neighborhood business owners. In the face of 2017's unprecedented challenges, they came together to weather a series of crises, ranging from severe weather to threats and violence, and opened their hearts and their wallets to respond with their own unprecedented generosity. By leveraging their entrepreneurial creativity and promoting their shared values, they have once again proven that the business of Portland is about much more than just business. Last year, we transitioned our innovative East Portland pilot project into the Catalytic Investment Initiative and expanded the effort into North Portland. This catalytic effort addresses disparity and gentrification in 8 targeted districts and has 3 short-term goals to increase membership, volunteers, and revenue. I'm thrilled to report that in the first 2 years of this work, we have radically exceeded all of our goals. We increased membership 112% so that slightly more than half of all business district members are now new in these districts. We also increased volunteerism 35% while diversifying business district leadership and bringing it in line with the demographic population they represent. And finally, we generated almost $200,000 in new revenue to help support neighborhood businesses. That's private investment that is coming in as leverage for city dollars. And that's not all. We've also made significant progress on our long-term goals to create a stronger support network that crosses business district boundaries, create stronger ties between businesses and residents, and improve business identity and positive public perception of East and North Portland. We helped districts launch more than 24 events designed to connect residents with businesses and make cash registers ring in economically lagging parts of Portland. We improved the perception of East and North Portland with 56 positive media stories in a variety of publications. And we increased district capacity to help the city invest more than $100 million in public infrastructure projects in these 8 targeted districts. So how have we done it? We started by hiring professional staff and placing them directly in business districts. We provided seed funding to help districts experiment with new programs that better serve their diverse districts. And we provided innovative and personalized technical assistance to districts, including helping them identify 49 geographic nodes of commercial clusters, analyzing almost 10,000 diversity points to help districts set diversity benchmarks, visiting more than 3,000 individual businesses and using their feedback to improve business district programming, and finally analyzing the diversity and skill sets of almost 75 business district volunteers to help them better recruit and develop new leaders. I could talk about the success of this project all day, but wanted to let you hear from the business district organizers who have implemented this work. Brad.
Hi, my name is Brad Faulkner. I'm the district organizer for 82nd Avenue of Roses Business District. This last August, we hosted our second annual Around the World in 82 Dishes, a month-long international food tour on 82nd Avenue. 73% of the 45 participating restaurants were minority-owned, and 1/3 of them became brand-new association members because of the program. We produced a 5-language passport and generated more than 300 purchases during the campaign. Catalytic Investment Initiative funding enabled passport production and translation, and without dedicated staffing to successfully address cultural and language barriers with these diverse businesses, this hugely successful district-wide event would not have happened. We are currently planning our 3rd event for this next fall.
Thank you.
Dane.
My name is Dan Fredericks. I am the district organizer for Foster Area. In November, we held our 3rd annual winter tree lighting on Foster Road. More than 300 kids and families braved the cold and donated over 250 pounds of food to the food bank in our district. We distributed 300 promotional bags, including coupons, to district businesses. And this promotion helped contribute district-wide holiday sales success, including Matthew's record-setting sales, as you heard earlier. Catalytic Investment Initiative funding enabled us to expand this event into a revenue-generating promotion for district businesses.
Thank you.
My name is Calvin Hoff, and I am the district organizer for Gateway Area. Earlier this year, I represented Gateway and the City of Portland at People for Bikes National Conference. With significant infrastructure investment occurring in Gateway, including 13 new bike lanes and 2 new parks, having a seat at this conference was critical for the business district. Catalytic Investment Initiative funding will enable us to launch a brand new event this summer, Cruising Gateway, that will promote our new infrastructure and connect Gateway Transit Center, Discovery Park, and the Halsey-Weidler Couplet.
Thank you.
I am also the district organizer for Kenton. This fall, Kenton used Catalytic Investment Initiative funding to launch the Tall Paul celebration, which resulted in the unveiling of the newly refurbished Paul Bunyan statue. Our district's iconic landmark, built in honor of the state's centennial anniversary, had fallen into disrepair. Kenton came together and collectively raised more than $80,000 for this renovation. Kenton also hosts the first street fair of the season, and I hope you'll join us in May where you can check out Paul.
Thank you.
I am also the organizer for the Midway Business District. Last spring, Midway used Catalytic Investment Initiative funding to launch a first-time event at Powell Butte. After mapping the assets of our very large and very diverse district, we realized that we weren't taking full advantage of a major regional destination. In partnership with the Water Bureau, we hosted a business fair on the Butte, turned out community members for a service project planting native species, and sent them on a business scavenger hunt through the district to grow Midway's economy. The event was such a success, we are currently planning our second annual event this June. More than 50 businesses and 20 partnering organizations will be involved, and I hope you will join us.
I'm also the district organizer for Parkrose. In October, Parkrose held its third annual Trunk or Treat at Parkrose High School. This innovative event gathers the businesses in our non-pedestrian-friendly district in a safe and walkable space to provide candy to kids and coupons to adults. After launching the event in 2015 in record-setting rain, we more than doubled participation this year with 2,000 kids and families attending. District businesses and local partners, like the team from PPB's North Precinct, dress up and have a great time giving back to our hugely diverse community. We are also using Catalytic Investment Initiative funding to promote the businesses that contribute to Parkrose Business Association's college scholarship program. In a school district that speaks more than 24 languages, district businesses have raised more than $80,000 over the last several years to make college attainable for Parkrose's best and brightest.
Why is it called Trunk or Treat?
I'm sorry?
Why is it called Trunk or Treat rather than Trick or Treat?
Because it takes place in the Parkrose High School parking lot, because there's a lack of walkable neighborhoods for the kids.
So businesses bring a car or a truck, and they decorate their trunk, which is where they have candy, so that kids can be in one safe, contained area instead of going door to door, because it's not a walkable neighborhood.
I was hoping it might be a tree planting thing as well.
Maybe next year.
As you may have noticed, the Williams District is undergoing a massive transformation. With 11 new high-rise buildings, more than 1,000 new apartments, and over 100,000 square feet of ground floor retail space, we've been under construction for the last 3 solid years. To remind people that Williams isn't just a difficult construction site, we used Catalytic Investment Initiative funding to launch Walk Williams, a 6-month program featuring late business hours, discounts, deals, and the opportunity to win prizes just by visiting businesses. To combat the previous displacement of Williams' African American population and ongoing gentrification pressures in this vibrant district, we're honoring our history and embracing our change. I hope to see many of you walking Williams when we kick off our second year on May 9th.
Awesome. Thank you, Brad, Calvin, and Dane. This program is working exactly as we had anticipated. Although we launched this effort as a 12-month demonstration project, we knew that for a catalytic investment of this magnitude to succeed long-term, it would require a 3 to 5 year effort per district. At the midpoint of year 3, I'm pleased to report that it is, in fact, working. On December 31st, the Montevilla East Tabor Business District graduated from the Catalytic Investment Initiative, following 30 months of record-breaking growth due to Venture Portland's high-touch, personalized assistance. Recently ranked one of the top 10 neighborhoods in the United States by Lonely Planet, on January 1st, Montevilla hired its own first-time executive director. They were able to use city funding to catalyze their own growth, build their capacity, and ensure their financial stability. They have graduated from the program into their own success, and we're now able to transition these resources to the newest the newest formal business district in the city of Portland, Lentz. I'm also excited to tell you that using privately generated funds, we've expanded the successful model to additional business districts citywide, including Northeast Broadway, which hired its own first-time staffer in late 2017, and using that organizer's time uncovered a 33% increase in businesses in their district. Following the explosion in Nob Hill last year, we also helped that district to hire a first-time staff person to bring the community together, plan recovery, and help ensure ongoing district resilience. In 2018, we're expanding even further. We are helping six districts invest in first-time staffing. This is fully privately paid, leveraging the great resources that the city has invested in Venture Portland. It's bringing an additional 64 hours a week of employment and more than $100,000 in new payroll to our city. Our ongoing partnership truly drives Portland's economy. Last year, neighborhood businesses contributed more than $100 million in taxes to help fund essential city services like first responders and parks. And now it's your turn. We're hoping that as you design the FY18-19 budget, even in a resource-constrained environment, that you transition our successful catalytic investment initiative to ongoing funding to ensure it will continue. It is a pleasure and a privilege to get to work with you and your bureaus. Together, we are growing business and connecting neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Commissioner Fish, it's my understanding this is a presentation only. Is that correct?
That's right. We can just informally accept the report, or formally accept the report. It's their annual report.
Move to accept the report.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Commissioner Fritz and Udaly, respectively, please call the roll.
Fritz.
Mostly, I wanted to congratulate you, have an opportunity to make a little speech, because I really appreciate this presentation. Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your leadership and support of Venture Portland. I remember when it was fewer than, I think, 39 neighborhoods. And so I got a bit dizzy at the beginning when you were doing all the logos, because not only were there a lot more neighborhoods, but they all now have their branding. And so it's really exciting to see the expansion that you've been able to do. I was especially glad to hear at the end about the private money coming in and the graduating of Montevilla. That's very exciting. I have to say on a personal note that the Portland Cacophony Society, I think, started the handing out of donuts at races at the Shamrock Run, but they give beer as well. So might need to. They do it in gorilla suits, though. So I think maybe that your particular way of doing it is safe, or else they'll have to think of something even more in Portlandish to make the mark. So thank you very much for all that you've done, and I very much appreciate you taking the time to come in for this report. Aye.
Fish.
Well, I can't tell you how proud I am of the work of Venture Portland and this leadership team. I think the request that, Heather, that you make that we convert a portion of the catalytic investment program to ongoing, I think is compelling. We have some tough choices to make in this budget, but thank you for flagging that. That's an issue that we can track with the Prosper Portland budget. I want to thank you for really framing at over the holidays the whole Buy Local campaign. You know, we know what the benefits are of buying local, but I think it was very important that you got the word out about how 70 cents of every dollar stays home, that you can save a buck on Amazon, but at what cost? Amazon doesn't pay taxes here. Amazon doesn't invest in Little League. They don't support, they don't have volunteers working to keep the neighborhood looking nice. So we have a choice. And I took the pledge, and I did all my shopping, mostly actually at Matthew's toy store, I mean at his game shop. But he did solve one family problem, which is that my son has been winning all of the games that we play. So Matthew introduced me to a new kind of game where it's not my son against the rest of us, but we're all of us against some plague. So thank you. I think it brought some peace over the holidays. I also appreciated that you called out the work of PBOT in coordinating capital construction projects. And I want to say that under Dan's leadership, he's really taken that to the next level. And for people just who follow this for a long time, once upon a time, The Portland Bureau of Transportation, the Bureau of Environmental Services would plan big capital construction projects, and they wouldn't necessarily consult with the impacted business district to find out, if that was going to be intrusive. Now it's just baked into the system that the work will not be done during signature events. We're not going to be tearing up St. John's during the St. John's parade. I mean, things of that nature. But it took change in culture. It took advocacy. And now it takes good coordination and communication between infrastructure bureaus to make sure that we work around the signature events that neighborhoods plan. And you've had an important role in that. I'm very proud of the fact that the voice of small business is now at the table with our neighborhoods helping make good policy. And it took a change where we had to mandate you got the same notice that neighborhood associations. But I think we all believe that when we have more people at the table in good faith, we often get better outcomes. And I think it's been very important to have the small business community at the table. And finally, we don't always get it right, and we're continuing to learn from experience. Heather was a little aggrieved a couple years ago during a winter storm. I think part of the winter storm, I was in charge as the president of the council and the mayor being out of town, in which our message to people was stay home. It's not safe. Well, that is technically true. We did not want people getting their cars driving on the roads. But it missed a nuance, which is stay home, don't drive, but frequent your neighborhood small business. It is okay to go out, walk a few blocks, and in fact, we must do that because neighborhood small businesses often get hammered during snowstorms. And so our message has now evolved where we are counseling safe behavior, like not getting behind the wheel of a car, but also taking advantage during those snow days of shopping locally and supporting our neighborhood businesses. And Venture Portland was very emphatic about the need to change our messaging in that regard. So I think it's a tremendous partnership. The record speaks for itself in terms of how you've leveraged public resources, and I will work with my colleagues to see if we can't convert some of that catalytic investment money to ongoing. So thank you all for your good work. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, as always, a very impressive report and really tangible results. I think the investment, I think it was 12 hours a week of staff with each neighborhood or business association is really evident in the presentation you just provided for all the different neighborhoods that you've been working in. Really remarkable identities being associated and events that get people excited and help create revenue for the small businesses. So excellent job. And, Heather, you've done a great job as the head of Venture Portland. This is a remarkable report, as always. I'm pleased to support it. Aye.
You Daly.
Thank you for the report. I enjoyed working with Venture Portland back when I was vice president of the Historic Mississippi Business Association. I thought it was a great time to get out of retail last January. Now I have to reconsider that decision because those numbers are pretty impressive. And, of course, I'm a big supporter of our local small businesses. I would love to see more collaboration between neighborhood associations and business associations because I think there's a lot of missed opportunities there to work on shared priorities. And so I would be happy to help facilitate that through ONI. And I'm also a supporter of the Catalytic Investment Initiative, and I will continue to do that. Aye.
Wheeler.
So I want to thank you on a couple of counts. First of all, you took a very principled and courageous stand with regard to the shelter that we have opened in Southeast Portland, or that we're in the process of standing up. And I want to thank you for the shuttle diplomacy you engaged in on that issue, and you provided what I thought was a very informed and rational voice during that discussion. And I appreciate it. I know Seraphie continually reported back to me that the conversations were productive and meaningful. So I want to personally thank you for that while I've got you here. I want to acknowledge that we are, in fact, a small business city. Most people in this city are employed by small businesses, so it's important that you be successful. Your success is the city's success. And as you mentioned, Heather, it's more than just a bottom-line proposition or an economic prosperity proposition. Small businesses actually help define in really important ways the look and the feel of this community. And if there's anything I've learned about the work that my colleagues here have done and city staff has done around the 2035 Central City Plan, it's that people want to live in complete communities. And if you see the polling data that's in the news this morning, it absolutely underscores the point. People want to be able to live close to where their kids go to school, close to where they work, close to where there are amenities. And those amenities are, of course, provided by small business owners and operators in the community. So again, your success is integral to the kind of long-term vision that we have for this city that is supported by polling in terms of what the public says they want and expect from their government. So I appreciate that. And finally, I just want to thank you for being community leaders in a time where it seems it is almost epidemic that we think about the worst-case scenarios and we think about what's going wrong, rather than being appreciative or grateful for what is actually going right. You're an organization that brings people together in the community, helps encourage people to be proud of their neighborhoods and the community, and you have never lost sight of what I think is the single most important missing ingredient in today's society, which is you bring fun to the neighborhood. And it's great. I just loved watching these photos of kids and parents and older adults coming together and meeting their neighbors and sharing a good time. And we need a lot more of that, particularly right now in our society. And you guys are providing the leadership to do that. You are espousing a positive vision of what this community is and what this community can be and what it will be. And so I just want to thank you as individual leaders for that. Obviously, I vote aye. The report's adopted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next time.